feel a stirring in the atmosphere. Praise God. I'm not soft on sin. I preach constantly. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. But I'm still on a road to discovery when it comes to God's grace and God's mercy. Can't use it as a cloak, the Bible said, for maliciousness. You can't cover sin. I've heard it said over and over again, God can't see through the blood. In other words, once you apply the blood, no matter what you do, God is oblivious to it. That's not true. God can see everything. There is nothing hid, even by the blood. Nothing is hid. God chooses not to judge because of that blood or to send you into judgment, but he sees. Make no mistake about it. He sees. People who want to hide from God have a reason for hiding, from trying to hide from God. There's nothing, say it with me, there's nothing, nothing hid from the eyes of him that we have to do. Nothing. That's why we need to be completely open, completely honest with God. David was a man after God's own heart, and there were many characteristics to his life that caused him to be called that. The primary one Well, actually, God didn't name David. He just made a statement before he chose David that we knew David fulfilled the requirement that God was looking for after Saul disobeyed, became rebellious, and failed. He said, I will choose me a man to lead Israel to be king. I will choose me a man after my own heart who will obey me in all that I command him. A man who will obey me in all that I command him. And he chose David. Now, David had glaring, terrible, personal failures, made wrong decisions, entered into some heinous, literally heinous sin. But David had a heart to obey. See, you got a flesh nature, and I have a flesh nature. And when you get saved, if you truly get saved, you have a heart to obey. The Word of God isn't going to offend you. It isn't going to be a heavy burden. It's going to be something that God uses as you receive it to help set you free and keep you free. And keep you out of that area where the enemy has access to you to hurt you and harm you. To bring you close to God where he can cover you with his wings and hide you in his pavilion. Can you say amen? The Bible said that he would hide us in his pavilion. When a king traveled, they had like a big old tent. Every time they stopped, they set this big tent up. And that tent had everything in it. It wasn't a Motel 6. Can you say, man, with the bare necessities? It had everything that a king would need to be comfortable in that tent. It was called a pavilion. And God said, where I camp, where I am, you're going to be. And I'm going to hide you where I am in my presence, in my pavilion. I'm going to cover you with my feathers. Amen. Because you've come to trust under the shadow of my wings. How excellent, Psalm 37 says, is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They live in a perpetual trust relationship in God. So many people are disqualifying themselves from the blessings that God has provided. They've disqualified themselves because they're listening to the enemy. I said it over and over again. I spent 3.5 years ministering to my father. And he said, I've learned more in the 3.5 years that I've been able to ask you questions and you've answered them biblically than I learned in the 90 years of life. Most of that in church, all of his life playing the fiddle. He was a good moral man. He lived a good moral life, but he didn't know much about salvation. He knew less about grace. He wasn't even convinced that he was going to heaven until he was able to be convinced by the Word of God. Isn't that incredible that you can be in church that long and not have... I love what 1 John said, I've written these things to you, that you might know that you have eternal life, that you might not doubt it at all. And since he was always afraid, in fact, one time he heard a, I'll never forget this, he said, I went to a tent meeting in Kentucky, and he said, There was an evangelist there. And the evangelist had had a dream. And in this dream, he was standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, he was getting ready to go in to the holy city. But the angel stepped forward and held him back. Now see, this is getting seeded into my dad in his early formative Christian years, his foundation. The angel held him back and said, so he said, and this is the evangelist that's preaching to others. He said, well, Lord, why can't I come in? I've accepted you as my Savior. I've done my best to live my life for you. And he said, the angel said, yeah, you did that. But you forgot to dot the I and cross the T. You forgot to dot the I and cross the T. In other words, you almost qualify for heaven. But because of this and that little stuff, you can't enter in. And a spirit of fear literally came over my dad. And he began to think his whole life that somewhere down the line, he had committed the unpardonable sin. There is a sin unto death, physical death. I do not say that you should pray for it. There is a sin unto death. There is a sin unto death. If you're praying for someone and they continue in rebellion, according to the scriptures, it can come to the point that the body will have to die so the spirit can be saved. God said, your soul is more important than how long you spend on earth, because it's after the earth that you enter into eternity somewhere. And I have seen cases where the body literally deteriorated and was destroyed, and the person called on the Lord finally. My wife talked about laying on her back. Did God do that to her? No, no, I don't believe God did it, but God's not going to let an opportunity like that pass. When whatever it takes to get your attention, when he's got your attention, he's going to use that opportunity. Because we're so busy sometimes, he don't have that opportunity to talk to us mouth to mouth and show us some needs in our own life. But believe me, when you're laying on your back and your husband's gone and you don't have your phone with you and you don't know how bad you're hurt and you don't even know if you can get up, and you're looking up at the heavens, you're looking right in the face of God. Something you probably didn't do all week long, but suddenly you can do it now. Hallelujah. God don't have to do it. Life is going to do it to you. Things are going to happen in your life. Amen. God don't have to make all of this happen. You live in a faulty body. And you live in a fallen world. And in this world, how many are still in this world? We just got two or three aliens among us today. But most of us are earthlings. Can you say amen? Most of us are earthlings. In this world, it's a promise from Jesus. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Now, immediately, we see that Greek word is such a strong word. It means anguish and pressure. It's the last thing I want to experience is anguish and pressure. I want peace and pleasure. Not anguish and pressure. But if you live in this world, things are going to occur because it is a fallen world. Your flesh is weak, and there is a devil out to hurt and harm us in this world. And he knew when he said, when those that part of that sentence left his mouth, that many people were just going to be cast down. He said, but be of good cheer. The next breath was, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. There's victory in Jesus. Can you say amen? I've been a pastor for 41 years and I know exactly why Jesus said cheer up. Some of you are looking for a wonder drug for your emotions, a wonder drug for your body, something you can take and everything's going to be okay. God's prescription begins with your heart. And the atmosphere of it, the attitude of it. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart, a thankful heart, a praising heart. Last week we talked about happiness not being based on happenings. But happy is the man who has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. If you're a Christian here today, God has committed himself to you. God has promised to help you. But he requires that you trust in him, that you believe in him. You know, when they were in the storm, when they were in that storm, you know, God, it's the same thing over again. You know, if God wants to help me, he'll help me. I have no responsibility to trust in him, to seek him. If he wants, he knows everything. If he knows I need help. They're in a boat. He told them, I'll meet you on the other side. So I'm going to stay here and tarry and pray. You go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They start out in the boat. And by the way, every time they got in a boat, a storm hit them. It wasn't clear sailing, was it? No, no. Amen. What is it? Paul, in the book of Acts, he's in a boat and the shipwrecks. He gets to shore, builds a fire, snake runs out, all of them are warming by the fire, and the snake latches on to Paul. Of all the people there, probably the holiest one, the most sanctified one, the called and anointed and appointed one, the snake bites him. Well, why don't the snake bite one of them? He was on a prison ship. Some people were on their way to be put in prison. Paul was too, but his was for preaching, not for camel jacking. They didn't have cars back then. We have to. Amen? Amen? So he's shipwrecked. He's shipwrecked. He's shipwrecked. He knew the shipwreck was going to come. God told him. This terrible storm's coming, but the weatherman said it's smooth sailing. It's smooth sailing. God says a storm is coming. You know why God knew the storm was coming? Because God sent the storm. Thank you for the heart. We think storms just show up or the devil is doing it all. God sent that storm. He had a purpose in the storm. Paul didn't know it, but he knew the storm was coming. God told him, if you loose from port, this ship's going to sink. Because there's a storm coming. So he told them. He thought, if I tell them, they'll listen. Oh, they don't listen. They don't listen. They don't listen. He said, God told me there's a storm coming. We ought not loose from port. They said, shut up and sit down. So he shut up and he sit down. And sure enough, they got out in the midst of the sea. And a great storm come. Euroclodon was the name. It was a great storm. It got so bad that they took everything they were carrying that was precious to them and threw it out, because the boat was sitting so low in the water of the ship that the waves were coming over it. And listen, when you get in a trial like that, the things you think are so important suddenly ain't that important. You want to survive that bad boy. You don't care about, boy, I'm going to have to dump this gold. I'm going to have to dump this silver. I'm going to have to dump these robes. And I'm going to have to dump these furs. Yeah, but when it comes down to your life, you'd be amazed what you can do without. Amen. Can you say amen? They got their priorities straightened out in a hurry. They done, and on top of that, they begin to fast. They said, we ain't going to eat until we get some help here. Amen. And Paul was down in the hole of the ship. And listen to this very carefully. It's in the book of Acts. After long abstinence, he waited until they were so scared. They were about to abandon ship. They said, this ship can't stay afloat. We'll take our chances by jumping out of the ship into some little boat or the sea. And Paul showed up on deck. And he saw what they were doing. And he said, except you stay in this ship, you'll surely perish. The ship that's about to go down. The ship that's going to get torn apart on the rocks. Except you stay in the ship, you'll surely perish. Because the Lord has told me this night that he's going to save me and all that sail with me. Praise God. Ah, friend of mine. He's going to save me and all that sail with me. But you got to stay in the boat that is in the storm. Amen. There's a song out there that said, Lord, I praise you in this storm. The lead singer for Mercy Me has been diagnosed with cancer in his kidney and asked for prayer on his Twitter or Facebook. He asked for prayer. But down at the bottom, after asking for prayer, he said they're sure, almost 100% sure it's cancer, a mass in his kidney. He asked for prayer, but down at the bottom, after asking for prayer, he made a personal statement, I'm going to praise you in this storm. 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 I am going to praise you in this storm. You know what would help that pressure and that heaviness that's on you because of the storm? Thanking God that He rides upon the waves. He controls the weather. He's the weatherman. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And if He says He can deliver you in the storm and through the storm, then let the winds blow. Let them do their worst. Amen. God told Paul, the ship is going under, but you are going to be saved. So don't sweat it. It's not the ship that you should be depending on. It's me. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to lose the ship to trust in God. Amen. So Paul told them that, and they took courage. It had been a day and a night looking like the next wave would capsize them. And sure enough, the boat began to break apart. But it broke apart near an island. And when it broke apart, it said some with boards from the ship and some with planks. My great-grandma said, if you can't get a board, get a plank. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When troubles would come, because she'd read this story. Hallelujah. Just give me something to hang on to till I can. You didn't even have to know how to swim. There, when the ship broke up, there was all kinds of boards and planks all over the place. Hallelujah. And they grabbed hold of the floating boards and the floating planks, and they all, like a bunch of wet rats, but they all came up on that island and they built this big bonfire to dry out and to warm themselves. And when they gathered the sticks for the fire, someone picked up sticks that had a viper in it, and that poisonous snake came out. When the fire started, he come running out of the fire. He ran straight to the Apostle Paul and bit him. And that venom went in there. This is a crucial time, because you can say, why did you let this happen to me? Or you can say, I'm so glad that God is in control no matter what happens to me. Thank you, Jesus. Not for the snake bite, for the promise. For the promise of your presence. Hallelujah. For the promise that you're able to take everything and work it together for good to them that love you. And you know I love you. And them are the called according to your purpose. You've got a purpose in this. I don't see it yet, but there is a purpose in this. Oh, by the way, Paul said, how be it? He already had a revelation before they landed there that some purpose was going to be realized there, because when he stood up in the ship, he said, howbeit we must be cast up on a certain island. Not just any island by happenstance or fate, but an island where God wanted us to end up. They were taking him to put him in jail. God was sending him on a mission trip. You didn't hear me today. We're trying to figure everything out. Let God be God. I've asked him 100 times, why, what, why, what? But every time I just praise him for his presence and praise him for his promise and thank him for his purpose, I look back on it and say, oh, I see why and I see what now. And, oh, I'm so glad I praised you in my storm. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're all looking for calm seas. We're all looking for smooth sailing. Trouble comes to them, why should it come to me? The Apostle Paul knew exactly why it was coming to him. And all of the inhabitants of that island, they looked and they were looking at him, waiting for him to swell up and sweat and get sick and go into convulsions and die. They'd seen it happen before. But Paul didn't sweat. And Paul didn't swell. And Paul didn't swear either. Can you say amen when the snake bit him? God said you're going to be cast on this island. He knew if I'm in the purpose of God, and even the storm was part of God's bringing us to this place, God is not going to let that snake stop me. So you know what he did? What we need to do today, and I've told it to congregations for 41 years. You know what Paul did when the snake bit him? He could have said, "Oh, Lord, why'd you let this happen to me?" You know why I'm so good at mimicking that? Because that's what I have to fight every time it happens. Things, circumstances hit me. "Oh, Lord, why'd you let this happen to me? I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love you with all my heart. It should bite him." Amen? Not me. Let the trouble. What is it? Rain, rain, go away. Go and rain on Doris Day. I have nothing against Doris Day. I just don't want rain on me. Don't rain on my parade. You know what the Apostle Paul did? He could have done what we do. But you know what he did? Since he knew. Said we could cast. He done told me we're going to survive. We did survive. We didn't survive that just to be taken out by this. So knowing that, put his faith in God. Bible said he shook it back into the fire. It was hanging on to him. I don't know if it was on his old foot or on his hand, but he shook it back into the fire. He just shook it off. There comes a time in your life that by faith in the promise and the eternal purpose of God that he has for your life, that he's able to make everything. Yes, everything. Yes, falling on a stone outside where you have to slow down and repent for not slowing down. He's able to work it all together for good. Willie saw my wife after she got all banged up on his wife's Facebook or something or whatever it was and said, "Who is that?" See Sister V without her makeup, all banged up. Some people thought I did it. I did not do that. How do you know Brother Venable didn't do that? Because I don't have two black eyes and a broken arm. Can you say amen? My wife would say, "You should see the other guy." Can you say amen? Listen, God can use it all. And if we'll praise him in the storm, God can do exciting, wonderful things. How many love to hear a testimony of what God has done in somebody's life? How many know if they hadn't had a test, they wouldn't have had a testimony? It was the test that gave them the testimony. It was God's faithfulness during the testing, and they seen what God did through it all. And God is, listen, let me tell you about his ways. The Bible said of God, he said of himself, "My ways are above your ways. And my ways are higher than your ways." Somebody say, "How high?" I'm glad you asked. He said, "As high as the heavens are above the earth." They're not past finding out, but he has to grant that to you by revelation. He has to show it to you through personal experience. But his ways of doing things, who would have thought the devil could never figure out that God was going to provide salvation for the world that would trust him for it. Through allowing his son to die helpless, seemingly helpless, on a cross. You know what the Bible said? If the princes of this world had known that, if they could have figured that out. And I'm not talking about Caesar's Rome. I'm not talking about earthly potentates. I'm talking about the principalities and powers that influence this world, the demon forces and the devil himself. If they had known God's plan, amen, to set captives free and to bring salvation to those that would trust Christ, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. Angels wouldn't have had to defend him. Demons would have been all around him. Said, don't hurt him. Don't spill one drop of his blood. Don't let him draw his last breath. Because his death and resurrection sealed our doom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If the princes of this world had known, they would have never. They would have never. But they didn't know. His disciples didn't know. His mama didn't know. But Isaiah knew. In Isaiah 53, amen, hundreds of years before it happened, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. Can you say, man, all we like sheep have gone astray, but God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Therefore, I will appoint unto him a portion with the great. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's ways. And man always, instead of simply trusting him, we try to control. There's a hyper faith message out there that puts you in control instead of letting God be in control. That your faith determines everything that you want. So I heard the television evangelist, and not all of them are bad. There's some good TV preachers. If I could get on TV, if you want to sponsor me, I'll preach on television. I'll preach on radio. I'll preach wherever I have a venue where someone can hear the gospel. I'll go one-on-one if anybody will listen. But he had a whole series of tapes. Cost you about $153. Tape series. On how to chart your own course. You want a house like mine, a watch like mine, a plane like mine, a car like mine? I can show you how to do it and you can be just like me. I thought, Lord, have mercy, man. We don't want to be just like you. We want to be like Jesus Christ. And I hate to break this to him. Only God knows his heart, but I can judge this much. That's not like Jesus. Who made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant and was obedient even to the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ the Lord. That's simply not like the Christ of the Bible. So how to chart your own course? And I thought, boy, that sounds good, because if I just get a hold of that, get my faith out there, get my confession right. Oh, by the way, there's a part of that series was where God is telling ancient Israel, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. He says, so you command God, you tell him what you want, you, whoa, 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 whoa. You know the context of that? It wasn't concerning the work of my, oh yes, it's written that way, but you got to read context. A text out of context is a pretext, and you can get way off. The devil quoted scripture out of context. To Jesus, didn't the scripture say that angels would bear thee up? And he said, yeah, it also says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So I read in the book of Isaiah, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. It's not in man that walketh. We need God. We need to trust God. Follow the Lord. It's not in you. It's not in me to choose our own way. God has a way for us. God has a course for us to finish. And I read it from another translation. Guess what it said? It said, it's not in man that walketh to chart his own course. And I thought, here's a tape set on how to get everything you want. And here's one that says, it's not in you. It's not in you to chart your own course. Go to now, you that say tomorrow we'll go in this town and do that, this city and start this business, that town and build this. Go to now means look here. Stop and think what you're saying. You should say, if the Lord wills. For you don't know what another day is going to bring. But you know this, that if you have submitted yourself to the will of God, that even a shipwreck and a snake bite won't stop you. Can you say amen? Because God had a purpose in them Because he said a certain island. That island. And they're not. Oh, wouldn't it be something if Paul stood up as a prisoner on a prison ship and said, God has spoken to me that I'm to preach on that island. We're going to have to stop here. Can you imagine what they'd do? Same thing they did when he told them not to loose from port. Sit down, shut up. Did you know you can have a prophetic word, but it not be the whole will of God? They came to Paul, who was on his way to Jerusalem and preach, because God told him to go there. And a prophet came to him with the word of the Lord to prepare him. But see, he was already prepared for that. He said, Paul, I hear you're going to Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, bonds and afflictions await you in Jerusalem. See, Paul was used to God using everything, and if he knew the will of God, that did not deter him. He said, I'm not only ready to suffer for his name, I'm ready to be put in prison for his name, I'm ready to die for his name. I'm going to Jerusalem. You need to get to know the voice of God. You need to get fluent in the Word of God. You need to understand that if you'll trust Him and praise Him in the storm, even the storm has purposes. And God can use what the devil means for evil, for your good and the good of others. But you got to let Him be God, and you got to quit trying to force Him to do everything according to what you think it ought to be. Amen? Because it's not in man. It's not in me. It's not in you to chart our own course. But God has a plan for your life. He knew you from your mama's womb. He didn't just meet you when you got saved. He knew you when you were kicking around inside your mama. Hallelujah. And John the Baptist got his call in his mama's womb in Elizabeth's belly. He became anointed to be a predecessor and prophesy of Jesus. The presbytery didn't lay hands on him. God anointed him in his mama's womb. Mary came to Elizabeth and told what the angel had told her about her going to have a virgin and going to have a child, and his name shall be called Yeshua, for he shall deliver his people. And when Elizabeth heard that, by the way, babies learn their daddy's and their mama's voices while they are in the belly. They can hear you out there. That's why when they're born and daddy says something to them, they, I know him. Amen. And mama says something, I know her. Amen. They've proven that scientifically. John heard it. Amen. This little foreman baby heard it. Guess what he did? The moment she said that, he went, woo! In her belly. He leapt in her belly. That confirmation. Amen. God is doing something big here. God is doing something supernatural here. God is doing something wonderful here. And he leapt at the news. Came out of the wilderness with a full understanding. Started from the womb when he couldn't hardly understand anything, but the anointing was on him right there and right then. Come out of the wilderness, said, baptizing under repentance, make the crooked path straight. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. There's a Holy One coming whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. And when he comes, I'm baptizing you with water unto repentance. But when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Can you say amen? I must decrease. Isn't that something? Somebody that said, I got to get out of the way so he can be exalted. I'm not here building my ministry, my dynasty, doing my thing. I'm here to announce that he's coming, a greater than me. And I must decrease that he might increase. Can you say amen? Oh, for some preachers today that would be willing to decrease so he could increase. So Paul is shipwrecked, snake bit, and they're watching. People on this island are watching, and they're saying, he's surely going to die. He's going to die. He's going to sweat and swell, go into convulsions and die. But he didn't sweat. He didn't swell. He didn't swear. Can you say amen? Oh, by the way, when Teen Challenge first came to Tampa and they opened up near downtown Tampa, they opened up a Teen Challenge place for young people, particularly on drugs and addictions. I went to visit them, and I was looking around all their facility, and I started into the kitchen, and sticking right out into this doorway into the kitchen, where there were long tables for them to eat as well, there was a bench sticking out about that far. And when I got to that bench, I almost hit my shin on it. And I said, oh, somebody needs to cut that off. Somebody's going to hit their shin on that. He said, oh, yes. He said, we have been procrastinating. That does need to be cut off. But said, right now, it's our religion tester. He said, when these two dozen people out here hear the call to eat, they come running, trying to get through that door, get at that table. And he said, one of them will surely hit their shin. And said, when they hit their shin and curse, said, we know that they need to be more sanctified before they leave here. He said, but we got a young man, said, and he come in here, he had the worst heroin habit that you ever saw and the worst cursing habit he'd ever heard. But said he started through there, and he hit that and said, we all held our breath because we knew, boy, he's going to let her fly. And he grabbed it and said, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not going to ask you what you say when you hit your old thumb or stub your old toe. But I'm going to tell you this, there's victory in Jesus, and God can use everything for his honor, for his glory, to achieve his purpose. Paul didn't sweat, he didn't swell, and he didn't swear. Praise God. And when they saw that this man, well, you know what they said at first? How wrong can you get it? They said, he escaped the judgment of man because of the shipwreck. He ended up here instead of in that jail. He escaped the judgment of man, but this snake has bit him. So he did not escape the judgment of God. They knew there was a God who judges. They knew that much. There is a God who judges, is the ultimate judge. And they considered God's choice apostle to be under God's judgment because of that event. Be careful. I want you to be careful. The Bible said, don't rejoice when your enemy, this is the one that you have a personal, prideful, vengeful beef with. Get him, God! The apostles had to get that out of them. They went with Jesus into an area where nobody got saved, nobody received their word. They felt they had wholesale rejection. Let me tell you about those early apostles. They had to learn about grace and mercy. It don't come natural. It ain't natural to your flesh. That's why you got to crucify it and walk in the Spirit. So they said, we got power here, Lord. You got power. We've seen your power at work. They don't want the gospel. They took it personal. Jesus came to seek the lost. They came. They took it personal. We preached with you. You preached. They wouldn't listen. Call fire down out of heaven. Burn them up. It's what they deserve. See, in grace, you do get what you don't deserve. Unmerited favor. You don't deserve it, but you get it. Say you do get what you don't deserve. Isn't that wonderful? You do get what you don't deserve. You don't deserve forgiveness, but he grants it because of the blood of his son. You do get what you don't deserve. Now, what about mercy? What's the difference? In mercy, you don't get what you do deserve. You deserve the whipping. You deserve the judgment, but you don't get it. And grace, the law came by Moses, but grace and mercy came by Jesus Christ. Grace and mercy is available to you today if you repent, so you can receive it. If you forgive, and if you show mercy to others. You can't be ugly to others and want God to be merciful to you. It doesn't work that way. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, it's forgive us our debts. Forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those contingent upon our forgiving those who transgress against us. Can you say amen? Christ elaborated on that and said, if you don't forgive men, God won't forgive you. But if you forgive men, He'll forgive you. I need forgiveness. Praise God. I need mercy. Because I need help down here. How many still down here? I need help down here. I need help up in here. Can you say, man? And I need it bad, and I need it from God, and God has promised to give it, but I must obtain something that precedes that help. I must obtain grace and mercy. How do you obtain it? You give it away. You give it to others. You show it. You set spiritual law into operation. You reap what you sow. You sowed mercy. You reap mercy. You sowed graciousness to others. You reap grace from God. Or you can reap the other junk if you're determined to hang on to it. Judge not that you not be judged. Now that's not doctrine. Everybody in here is responsible. You're supposed to judge angels if they come with the wrong doctrine. But you have to let God handle people. You kill somebody's influence that somebody is listening to, and they preach enough of the gospel for them to come to Christ. Did you know how my wife came to Jesus? Last film I'd ever showed to bring anybody to Jesus. It was one of those old costume dramas. It was so campy. I think Jesus was, who was Jesus? Is anybody? He was old. He was some actor that's played a bunch of other roles, and he was so unlike anything you might think Jesus might be like. But I got home at 3 o'clock in the morning, lights on in my house. I went in, I thought something wrong, because my wife dead asleep at 3 in the morning. I'm working night shift. I got home. Lights are all over the house. Everything's lit up. And I thought something must be wrong. And I came in. My wife is sitting there with tears in her eyes. She said, guess what happened to me tonight? And I said, what? What happened? She said, I got saved. She said, I was watching. It was Easter season. Just like we're moving. I was watching Jeffrey Hunter or somebody. King of Kings. Old costume drama. Looks outdated now. Last thing I would show to try to win anybody to Jesus, you know. And yet there was enough of the gospel in the midst of all the bad acting. Can you say, man, in bad locations. And there was enough of the gospel. And see, there's power in this good news. There's power in the gospel itself. This conveyor for the gospel was flawed, but the gospel has power in it. Hallelujah. And she, in her heart, the Holy Spirit made it real to her. Jesus died on the cross for me, and she saw her lost condition. She came to glorious repentance, and she flushed our cigarettes down the commode. Come on, you know what that's like if you're really addicted. It's all right to get saved, but my cigarettes? Come on! Glory to God. No, honey, when I got saved, 1 week later, I came to Christ. I had come to Christ, tried to tell her about Jesus, trying to tell her that she needed to get saved. But I drifted away. But when I saw what God did in her, and when God got a hold of me the next week, I got saved. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Venable, Did you have to give up this? No, I got Jesus and I didn't need this. And I didn't need that anymore. I didn't need the crutches, the things I was using to fill that hole that only God could fill. When He took His place in my heart, I didn't need the junk that I was getting into. And right now, I'm so glad that way back then, God saved me. God delivered me. Praise God. In May the 18th, we're going to celebrate 52 years of marriage. Everything was... Yeah, say it right in here.
Hallelujah.
No, the whistle. Oh, that's a weak whistle, but we'll take it. Can you say amen? 52 years is a long time. I'm still in love with my wife. I think she's still in love with me. She said, for a 52nd, we're going to go away for a week. We're going to renew the romance. Now, I've thought immediately of when we went from the old Holy Church of God. We told my son Matthew, he's about 7 or 8 years old. We told him, said, we're going to be gone now. You're going to have to stay with Grandma. We're going to be gone. He said, where are you going, Mom? Where are you going? He thought we might go to Disney World without him. Can you say amen? So he was deeply concerned. So I said, we're going away on a romantic interlude. I was putting it in, you know, keep it away from theme parks as much as I could. We're going away on a romantic interlude. So that Sunday, he went to church. They asked him, where's your mom and daddy? He said, they went away on a romantic inner tube. I don't think it's very romantic tubing down the Alfi in the summer with the skeeters and alligators. Listen, there's only one reason that we're together today, because we got married at 16 and 14. We never got to play. We never got to date. We never got to have fun. It wasn't fun when you have a family immediately. The fun is over. I worked with a guy. He got married young. He had a 409. Chevrolet, 1964 Chevrolet Impala with a 409 V8 with 3 2-barrel carburetors. When he kicked that thing in, they were chrome. He opened the hood, show it to me. Worked at the grocery store where I did. Oh, look under that hood. He'd rev it up. You could just hear those things go. Sound like a Cherie's truck. Anyway, moving right along. That's a V8, isn't it? Yeah. Wow, I could have had a V8. My car out there is 4-cylinder. Gas is going back up. Her truck will pass everything but a gas station. Can you say amen? That guy got married, had the 409. He traded his manifold set up for 3 2-barrel carburetors for a manifold that had one, not a 4-barrel, had 1 2-barrel. Boy, that thing was sick after that. I said, why in the world did you do that? He said, I got married. We got a baby coming. I can't afford the gasoline. I thought next thing he going to roll in a Yugo if he has another kid. Can you say that? All things work together. When they saw that Paul didn't swell, he didn't sweat, and he didn't swear. Is that Acts 24? I believe it's in the 24th chapter. Shipwreck. Shipwrecked, snake bit, shook it back off into the fire, and now he's ready for God to use him because he didn't misinterpret the storm or the snake as God being unfaithful or the devil winning a battle. See, that's two misinterpretations. The devil won. No, he didn't. Not as long as God's in control. God is unfaithful. No, he's not. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Praise God. No temptation is taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. You say, Brother Bubba, I can't take any more. God obviously believes you can. Amen. when my daddy used to chasten me, he'd say, "Bobby, you know that was wrong. Go and cut me a limb." Now, he meant a switch. He didn't mean a limb. And believe me, I got the flimsiest switch. I got something I knew would break the first time. You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to choose it, I ain't choosing one that's going to last for a while. And I brought him that thing, and he looked at that. He put it down. He went and got one himself. And he come back, and I thought, okay, that didn't work. So here's my next best thing. Before he even hit me, I'm going to start hollering. Wah! Wah! He ain't even spanked me yet. There he is, my man. We know what to do. We know it's coming. We're going to get it over with. I whan so much he almost called me a whambulance. Can you? Anyway. Yeah, it hurts me more than it does you. Don't you believe it? And Dad said, "Are you going to do that anymore?" "No, Daddy, no, Daddy, no, Daddy, no, Daddy." Oh, oh Lord. And he had mercy on me, you know. It did hurt, but it didn't hurt that bad. Yeah. But they're two good boys now, aren't they? They're two good boys. Praise God. Listen, even the chastisement of God is an act of love on his behalf. And no chastening for the present seems joyous, but rather grievous. But faint not. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give over. Don't let the devil convince you that God is unfaithful. Faint not when thou art chastened of him, because if you can do wrong and God doesn't step in, you are bastards and not sons. He doesn't claim you. He doesn't acknowledge you, because he chastens every son that he loves and scourges everyone that he receives. There are no exceptions. Brother Venable, have you ever been chastened of the Lord? Absolutely. And I would rather, you know, David was given a choice when he sinned in number in Israel. God said, "You know something? I can let you fall into the hands of man, or I can chasten you myself." That's a no-brainer. God is a merciful God. His chastisement is for our instruction. The devil hurts and harms are for our destruction. There's a vast difference in being instructed and destroyed. He said, "Let me fall into the hands of God, because I know that he knows when to stop. And he's not going to try to destroy me. He's going to give, something is going to occur to make a deep impression on me that I've fallen back into this trap of sin again. Let me fall into God's hands." For what? For chastisement. Faint not. It proves you belong to him. Brother Venable, have you ever been chastened by the Lord? Absolutely. Well, Brother Venable, what did you do? None of your beeswax. Oh, Brother Venable, no, we're not going to fess up to everything we ever did. We don't have time. Amen. We just don't have time. It's a shame to even think about some of those things. But God got my attention, and I'm so glad he did. Hallelujah. I belong to him. I'm his child. Hallelujah. Amen. You wouldn't want to go fishing with me if I get wrong with God. Not only won't the fish bite, but the boat may sink. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. If you want to go, so I haven't been in a long time. So if you want to go in a boat with me, I have to tell Terry, "Terry, are you right with God before we get out there? There's alligators out there. It's a deep lake. Are you right with God? Make sure before we leave right now, I want you right with God. I don't want no lightning striking this boat. I don't want no alligator jumping in this boat. I don't want no wave throwing us out of this boat." Amen. If you don't want to get right with God, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to ride with you. I don't want to fish with you. I don't want to hunt with you. I sure don't want to party with you. Can you say amen? Because if you belong to God, you're going to meet God out there somewhere. People change churches running from God. Running from God. Looking for a church where they don't feel convicted. Where they can be comfortable without dealing with the sin that so easily besets them. And they blame God for unfaithfulness. They blame the devil for what happens to them. But you've got to own that sin. And you've got to ask God to forgive it. And when he does, then there's no one, the devil, or no one else can point to what God hath cleansed. Let no man call common or unclean from that point forward. Praise God. So he's snake bit. He's shipwrecked. And everybody watching him to die, but he doesn't die. They thought God's justice has caught him. He escaped man's, but God got him. What concept of God they had. They didn't know the gospel. But they had a king that was sick unto death. And they said, if God delivered him, if his God delivered him, and this is not the devil, and this is not judgment, this is God at work, then we want him to come pray for our king. And a revival broke out on an island. And God used a shipwreck and a snake bite to begin the revival. So if you want to be used of God today, I'm going to ask you to do something as we close this service. Whatever it is, the troubles you got right now, I want you to shake it off. If you don't shake it off, you're going to carry it out of here. You're going to shake it off and trust God, or you're going to carry it with all of your scripture and all of your Bible and all the preaching and teaching that's been done here and all the tapes and all the television ministers and all the pastors and evangelists. You're going to take it right out the door. And you're going to come in just as heavy laden next week as you came in today. You'll bring that burden in here instead of casting it on the Lord. Can you say, it might be your flaky kids. Pray for them, but give them to God for heaven's sakes. Come on, give them to God. Give them to God. It might be your boss man or boss woman. Give her to God. You really want to get your enemy down? Pull your chair up to God's table. Fill yourself on all that he set on that table. Let them see you full of happiness and joy and victory. He'll eat them up. It'll get their goat. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's victory in Jesus for everybody in this room. If you're a true child of God, give it to him. Give them to him. Worship him. Worship him. Thank him. Praise him in this storm. Praise him in this storm. I fully expect storms to keep coming. They were in a storm crossing Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. It got bad and threatened to sink them. One storm Jesus was on. See, there's always a storm. Always a storm. You can't get away from the storms. But you can trust God in the storm. Jesus sleeping the hinder part, but not this time. This time, he's walking. And Peter looks out over the ramparts, the midst of that storm, and he sees what he thought was an apparition, a ghost. There's this figure in the midst of the wind and the rain and the waves and the foam. There's a man serenely walking on the water. Get this. It's so important. Because in the midst of a storm, we generally put our faith in a suitcase, lock it up, and throw it in the closet. Because we're in a storm. We don't understand it. So how can we trust God in this storm? Call on him. Use any faith. We're in a storm. And our emotions are transcending our faith. Amen. The Bible said, Well, and here's the poor old me. You want to hear the poor old me, how we say, well, God knows what's going on. I wish he'd do something about it. It's not his move now in the storm. It's your move. It's your move. Can I put it in street language? How you going to act? If you know God is God and you know he's in control, are you going to trust him? Are you going to accuse him? Are you going to doubt him? Are you going to be double-minded? A double-minded man, James chapter 1, is like the waves of the sea. Listen to this. Driven by the wind and tossed at the control and the mercy of your immediate circumstances. Let not that man, under those conditions, expect anything from God. Can you say, man? You can't. Come on. I struggle with it too. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about deciding, making a quality decision. I am going to praise him in this storm. I am going to trust him in this circumstance. I'm not going to accuse him, and I'm not going to blame the devil. I'm going to trust my God. Hallelujah. Because if you don't grow out of that, if you don't get out of that, you can't expect any help from God. He don't require you to have perfect faith, but he requires you to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder and that he can do what he said he can do in spite of your circumstance. Hallelujah. I've anchored in Jesus. I'll fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I'm anchored in the rock of ages. Can you say, man? Well, if God loved us, this wouldn't happen. God, if God cared about us, he would stop this storm. He would deliver us. The Bible said, and Jesus would have passed them by. If you don't call upon him, and you're going to get it under control, and you're going to handle it, and you're going to accuse him, he's going to the other side. You out there in the storm, I would strongly advise you to grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time to quit complaining and start complying. I will bless the Lord. How often? At all times. His praise will be intermittent. Up, down, on, off, continually in my mouth. I like that song. It says, I can't stop praising his name. I can't stop praising his name. I'd like to add to that, I won't stop praising his name. I won't stop praising his name. I won't stop praising his name. Jesus, can you say amen? In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you're condemned to live under what the little Abner, remember little Abner? There's some guy on there, I don't know what his name was, but there was a cloud with lightning and dark cloud. Everywhere he went, that cloud followed him. I forget his name, but there's a lot of Christians, if we could see where you live in your life, there's a cloud follows you. It's not a glory cloud either. It's just an old dark cloud. And everything is bad. And I don't know why God lets it. I don't know why God don't let it. We trudge along. And we tell people out there bound and in sin and unhappy and unfulfilled, you know, you need Jesus. Look what he can do. Look what he's done for me. No, you can't. You can't. Come on. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. Hallelujah. And Jesus looked out. Peter looked out and he said, you know something? This is absolutely unbelievable, but that looks like Jesus. It looked like Jesus, but he's walking like he ain't got a care in the world and he don't care about us, but it looks like Jesus. Jesus! If that's you, bid me come to you. Jesus turned around and said, come on. Come on. Come on. I And of course, Peter jumped out of the boat. He's impetuous. Jumped out of the boat, hit that water, and he didn't sink. Woo! Doesn't it feel good? Step out on the Word of God. Here we go. But then he realized that he's walking on water. And the Bible said the storm got exceedingly boisterous. It got worse when you step out on the Word. And he started to sink. And he said again, "Jesus, help me." I love the way Jesus responded. And immediately, wherever Jesus was coming to him, immediately Jesus was right there by him. Grabbed him by the hand and lifting him up. Jesus holding him up, walked with him back to the boat and took him to the other side. Can you say, man? Now, I got another whole message on that. You know, probably part of it. I do not believe for one minute that God wanted Peter to walk the water without Jesus supporting him. Because he didn't do it and nobody else ever did it. And that guy on TV can forget about it. Let's go down to Tampa Bay. I know he thinks he can, but I'm telling you straight up, he can't. Can you say amen? But there's one man who can and did, and he's the man that can sustain you in the midst of the storm. Can you say amen? And listen, if it's my faith keeping me from sinking and not Christ holding me up, then I have faith in my faith. But if my faith is in Christ holding me up, then my faith is in his faithfulness. My faith may falter, but his faithfulness will never fail. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this room. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We're getting ready to worship. God is so good today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why I love the name of Jesus. He said, "Call upon me. And I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me." Hallelujah. Praise God. Offer the Lord thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Give him thanks from your heart. If you order your conversation aright, you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. God's deliverance is going to come to you. If you want to complain, if you want to go out of here with that dark cloud over you, it's your choice. Recognize it's a choice you're making. God's choice is to help you today. God's choice is to hold you up today. God's choice is to give you a hope and a future today. But you got to grow out of that childlessness and begin to grow up and take responsibility. Amen. Christ fulfilled his when he hung on the cross for you. Jesus supplied the blood for your salvation. But only you can apply the blood to your heart and life through faith in his finished work. So many people are going to be lost that could have. There's enough blood supplied to save the whole world. But only a few are going to apply it. There's enough grace supplied to take you through every pressure and problem, but only you can apply it by faith. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in God. He will never fail you, never leave you, never forsake you. Hallelujah. Did you learn anything today through snake bit shipwreck preachers and God's eternal purposes? Will you stand to your feet today? Did I hand you? I did. I want us to praise the name of the Lord. One last thing before we leave today. I want to lift up his name and spread his fame. What kept me out of church for so many years, being raised in church, I saw the contradiction. As a young man, I saw the contradiction. I saw it in my dad, who was filled with fear. I saw it in my mother, who didn't have any faith in God at that point. I saw it in church people who should have been an example to me. But we're not living in anything near what the Bible taught or what they said should be happening. I saw a God who really couldn't do very much or wouldn't do very much for his people. I saw people that would rather gossip about this lady or that preacher than to praise the name of Jesus. And it soured my soul until he got a hold of me and I quit looking at them. And I started looking at him. Can you say amen? And he took that sourness and that bitterness out. And he gave me a glorious, what is it David said? My meditation of him shall be sweet. Can you say amen? And he just turned that bitterness around and gave the sweetness of the Lord into my heart and life. I wouldn't take anything for that. Hallelujah. The lead singer for Mercy Me is facing a storm in his life. He asked for prayer, but he didn't just ask that people pray. He made a faith statement. I don't know how it's all going to pan out, but before anything else happens, right here and right now, I will praise you in this storm. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. First thing I want you to do, whatever it is that's really bugging you, I want you to shake it off. Come on. Shake it off. I mean, in your heart. This is just a hand doing this. But in your heart, give it, get rid of that junk. Hallelujah. And the next thing I want you to do is praise God. Right where you are. Just thank him right where you are. Let's have this song before we dismiss. How many got something out of this? How many are challenged today? How many have some hope that things are going to change today? Let's give him praise.